Hey there, everybody. It is Thursday, February 7th, 2013, and you are listening to This Show Is So Gay. I'm your host, Ken Schneck. As always, you can get in touch with us by dropping us an email, sending on over to ken@thisshowissogay.com, strolling over to thisshowissogay.com to learn all about the fun things happening with our little gay radio show that could. And of course, go to the Facebook, type in This Show Is So Gay, like us, because we sure as heck like you. It's episode number 201, and if you thought episode 200 was exciting, we're welcoming back two of our favorite guests of all time. So let's start out with our buddy Mariah Hansen, the founder and producer of The Dyna, a five-day, one-stop destination and international world-class event packed with non-stop activities, a series of phenomenal pool parties, spectacular night entertainment, live concerts. Mariah sings, I assume. There's a Mariah concert of some sort. We'll find out. Comedy shows, sport games, now in its 23rd year. This year's Dyna will be held from April 3rd through April 7th and will, of course, be the best ever. Here to talk about all things Dyna, Mariah Hansen. Welcome back to This Show Is So Gay.
Hi, Ken.
This is one of my favorite shows of the year when we get to talk about the Dyna.
I just love hearing your voice, so we're both in heaven.
Now, what song are you headlining with this year at the Dyna?
Broken Hearted by Carmen.
But what song are you singing?
What song am I singing?
I feel like it's time for you to bust out, get on stage, and start singing.
All right, here we go. You ready? I can't wait to go horse camping.
All right. Or Carmen will sing, and that's good, too. That's good, too. Let's back up a step. Before we talk about Carmen and all the amazing artists who are coming to the Dyna, if for some reason nobody knows what the Dyna is, how do we describe it to them?
Wow, it's the largest lesbian event in the world.
There you go.
There you go, right in a nutshell. It's 5 days of concerts, pool parties, sports, comedy. We're premiering a film festival this year.
I saw that, and we're going to talk about that, too. I'm excited about that. Now in its 23rd year.
I know. I can't believe it, but here we are, 23 years later.
You've been doing this since you were 13.
I know.
It's fantastic.
Oh, it's crazy. It really just kind of flew by, Ken.
Look at that. That's so exciting. Now, is there still the golf connection?
Well, you know, there's a golf tournament that happens during the festival, but I don't really think too many of my customers are paying a whole lot of attention to it. But what's neat, though, Ken, is that there's so many reasons for lesbians to go to Palm Springs that weekend. So if they like golf, they may not be going to my event. They may be going to my event and catching a little bit of golf, but nonetheless, the entire town is overtaken by lesbians.
We love that.
We just rule that weekend.
Now, I have to tell you, and I'm hoping I'm not stirring up any drama here, I said, someone asked me, oh, who's on your show this week? I said, Mariah Hansen's back. We're going to be talking about the Dyna. And I said, wasn't there another kind of festival? And she said, don't even say that, because the Dyna, without question, is the one. I said, I know that. It's Mariah Hansen. But it sounds like the word on the street is that, you know, the competition was not much competition.
Well, Ken, thank God for my wonderful mother who is a practicing Buddhist and taught me how to focus and be positive and not really pay a whole lot of attention to anything other than being the best that I can be. And
there
that's what I did. And here we are, larger than ever. And just this year is exponentially larger than last year, if you can believe that. And partially it's, I'm sure, due to the L Word giving us two episodes.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my gosh. God, we have so much to talk about. There's so much that's happened. There's so much that's happened.
You got to keep it positive,
yeah.
Ken. So, you know, I didn't even really notice there was competition.
No, nobody did. Yeah. I can't believe it even came up on this show. All right. First, we got to pull back the curtain a little. How do you find these artists? So as you, Carmen is going to be there, and Diana King's going to be there.
Isn't that cool?
So many and, cool folks.
Uh-huh. Her and Havana Brown.
Oh, my gosh.
She's another one that's just taken off. So, you know, and then we've got some up-and-comings, Katie Tiz and Kay Rose, who's just a phenomenal dancer as well as a singer.
And how do you book them? Who decides, oh, we should get this person for the Dyna?
Just me.
Just you?
Mm-hmm.
And do you just see a video? Do you hear a song and you're thinking, I want that person at the Dyna?
A lot of people let me know who they think I should book. and I'm got my eye on the next big thing. So I take a lot, I absorb a lot of information.
Yeah.
I watch a lot of videos, and you know, and then I really just operate from my gut. I've been a producer for 25 years.
Wow.
And listening to current music for 25 years, and so you kind of get a handle on, oh, that's going to take off, and I have a good track record, thank God.
And I would imagine the flip side also happens, where there are perhaps some folks reaching out to you who you get to say, oh, you know, no, thank you.
Yeah. That does happen.
Every now and then.
I hate it, though. I always feel bad, but... Yeah, you know, the Dyna at this point, the kind of talent that I'm booking has to have a really broad range.
Exactly.
I'm only booking people that are charting or have a record deal, because just gone are the days when these women are going to be satisfied with a regional act.
Right.
They won't pay attention.
Right.
So.
Now, how important is it? Do you do research into how gay-friendly the artists are? Because not all of them, we should establish, not all of them are LGBT artists.
Most of mine aren't.
Yeah.
And quite frankly, Ken, every time I ask a lesbian artist to play the Dyna, they want to play mainstream events and don't want to get pigeonholed.
Wait, come on.
Swear to God, I could really name some serious names that should be ashamed of themselves for riding on the backs of the lesbian community but won't play our festivals.
Now, this is radio, so you can't see that my jaw is actually on the floor right now.
Mine is, too. Trust me, it's actually... it still kind of rubs me wrong, although it's been happening for years, but
okay.
Anyway.
All right, we're gonna move past that, even as we're a little bit troubled by that, and I think there's a larger sociological statement there, but it's me and you, Mariah, so we're moving past that. Because I don't know if you know, Carmen is gonna be at the Dyna.
Well, Carmen is they're really gay friendly.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah. And in fact most of my acts are. I think if someone wasn't gay friendly, I don't think they would play the event.
Right.
However, it has changed, like Salt and Peppa.
Yeah.
You know, one of them is incredibly religious.
Oh, yeah. I watched their little reality show that didn't last very long, but one of them, it's
know,
Salt.
Let me tell you something. That was one of the best concerts I've ever produced. They are awesome in concert. And when they were done with the concert, they looked at me and they just went, this was one of the most amazing experiences we've ever had on stage.
Yay.
Yeah. So, you know, I mean, for me, if they weren't gay friendly, I'd still throw them on stage, because if they're not gay friendly by the end of the concert, something's wrong with them.
There's a transformation that happens there at the Dyna.
Absolutely.
I've heard it many times. Now, I do want to talk about the film festival. And I have to tell you, so I was reading about this earlier, and you and I have talked about, you know, the type of person who goes to the Dyna. And let's put it out there that I'm sure for some first-timers, it can be very intimidating to go.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, there's thousands of women there.
Yeah.
And if you're shy, yeah. But if you're not shy, it's a love fest.
But it's very similar to what I would do with a college orientation. Any good student affairs person worth their salt is always going to throw movies in, because for some folks, that's a really nice entry point to being around other people, but maybe you're not super comfortable talking to everybody yet.
Right. That's interesting. I'm going to take credit for that.
Good.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking when I did that.
Good. I love, from interviews here on out, that's going to become the narrative. I'm here to help. I'm here to help.
Thanks, kid. For me, I have always supported film. I haven't always been able to.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if you tracked my career, I have been committed to helping visibility in lesbian film from day one. And I'm really excited I get to do it again, because I feel like this changes hearts and minds.
Oh yeah.
Great people see this stuff, and if I think it changes people, and so I think it's a really powerful medium. I'm not really saying anything new, but I feel very strongly that this is one way that I want to help change, you know, forward our civil rights.
Right.
So if I can help filmmakers, 100% of the net proceeds are going to them.
Love that. Now, how did you go about, because some people work their whole year just planning a film festival. The film festival is just one element of the Dyna.
Yeah. Well, I did one about 6 years ago.
Okay.
I think 300 people showed up, and I thought that was dismal, because I'm used to thousands. And I was just talking to the filmmaker when she pitched this with me, and I said, well, I'd done it before. It wasn't very successful. I was only 300 people there. And she goes, oh, my God, if there were 300 people at a premiere at a film festival.
Huge.
Yeah, the filmmaker would think they'd hit a home run. And I'm like, oh, well, let's do it then.
Oh, let's do it. How many films?
Two.
Two films?
One is Jill Bennett's film called Second Shot.
Okay.
It's got a really amazing cast. And it's on Facebook. Just click in Second Shot, and you'll find it. It's also linked onto our page.
The lesbians love Jill Bennett.
No kidding.
I've looked this up, actually.
Yeah. Well, come on. She's like this beautiful, sexy actress who really can act.
Oh, yeah. Oh, we got to get Jill Bennett on the show. All right, you'll help us get Jill Bennett on the show.
Of course.
Of course. Okay, so that's one film.
Okay. And then Out in the Desert, which is a film by Paige Hurwitz, who is a comic slash producer. So she was producer of Comic Last Standing, and then she went over to the O Network and has been working with Oprah Winfrey. But between Comic Last Standing and Oprah Winfrey, she filmed a documentary at the Dyna, and then I guess working with the O Network. It just was never released.
Okay.
So it was filmed like about 2 years ago. And she's finally put it together and is going to release it at the Dyna, and it's a spectacular film. It's not so much about what I do. It's more about how that the event changes lives.
Love that. Love
it's
that.
Really, it's beautiful.
Now tell me, because we had people write in with some questions about the Dyna. One of our listeners wrote in and said, how trans-friendly is the Dyna?
The Dyna is friendly.
Yeah.
Period.
Period.
Yeah.
That's it for that.
Yeah. We don't have any preconceived notions about anybody, including straight guys.
Nice.
Listen, if people are coming and they get it, they're welcome.
Yeah.
It's predominantly lesbian, but you know what? Lesbians have friends that don't fit into that category necessarily.
Right.
And I'm not the one that's going to say they can't come.
Right.
And I think trans people are some of the bravest people in the world, so they're always welcome.
Without question. Without question. Now, this I thought was the funniest question, although I'm a little nervous that you already know the answer to this because bad things have happened. A listener wrote in, and I quote, what would have to happen for someone to get kicked out of the Dyna? Not that that's ever happened, I would assume, Mariah.
We've asked a few people to leave. Well,
we don't like when people get kicked out or when they do behavior that.
Fight.
Yeah.
So if you get into a fist fight.
No fighting.
You're gonna get
absolutely no fighting, people.
If you're a straight man and you took a wrong turn, it ended up at one of my hotels and decided to come in for a beer and then thought you'd stay for the women, you're probably going to get asked to leave.
I have so many comments on that one.
That's the two situations. And. But other than that, I think we're actually very liberal because we understand that people are really out of their minds during that weekend.
Yeah.
So we just try to get them to Monday safe and sound.
Love that. Well, that's a good goal. We like when people get to Monday safe and sound. And then our last question from a listener, and this is a question I always ask you, so I don't even need to ask it. I'll let them do it. What are this year's philanthropy connections to the Dyna?
Well, I love that question.
I know you do.
The Human Rights Campaign.
Look at that.
And what we're doing is a celebrity poker tournament on Saturday night. 100% of the proceeds are going to HRC.
Okay.
And then we've given them a full sponsorship, so they're going to be there at the weekend promoting. And then I'm really happy to align with them. I have aligned with a lot of different charities in the past, but it seems like a good time to align with HRC.
Now, who will be at the celebrity poker tournament? Do we know yet?
We know some,
okay.
Not all, that will be fully announced about March 15th as we're still, you know, it's funny. A lot of celebs actually write and ask us for tickets, and so we always tell them, of course, but you have to be in our celebrity poker.
Exactly. Will there be any Vermont radio show hosts in the celebrity poker tournament?
Ken, I tell you every year, get there. I will. You can do anything you want there.
Here's my thing, because I knew we were going to talk about this. We talk about this every time. This is your, like, 20th time on the show.
You could be in my, like, my fashion contest.
No, that's not going
to
happen.
You want to do comedy? Come on.
I want to have, because I knew we would discuss this. This is, you know, again, I've looked it up. This is your 23rd time on the show. I want to have purpose there. I don't want to just show up and enjoy the diner, although I would, of course, naturally enjoy the diner.
Like, you want me to give you a job, like wristbander or...
I'm not even kidding. I would enjoy that immensely. I like having purpose.
I'll hire you. You're
okay.
Hired.
Yeah. I don't need any salary. I just need to be able to go to the diner.
Nobody ever works for free at the diner.
Okay. I'll take a lot of money.
Would you let some interns who are in the field?
It's a resume builder for me. That's fine.
There you go.
Well, that'd be great. I want people to leave the diner and go home and say, yeah, you know, I met a lot of lesbians and I think I met the woman of my dreams, but holy cow, was that wristbander fun.
Yes, exactly. Ken.
That's what I'm shooting for. So now, hotels, I would assume not, you know, there's people got to act now.
Oh, God, yeah. I've already sold out of the Hilton.
Gosh.
I sold out of the Zoso. I sold out of my 50-room block at the Renaissance, and they gave me more rooms. So I'm going to, at the end of the day, have about 25% of that hotel. I have a bunch of rooms at the Marquis, at the Spa Hotel, Courtyard Marriott, the Monroe.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Now, I'm an elected official here in Brattleboro, Vermont, and I can tell you, as an elected official here, and, you know, as one of our mayors here, or our form of that in New England, I would be thrilled if the diner came here. I would imagine that, I'm assuming it's a mayor of Palm Springs, loves the diner, because you guys bring in some revenue.
First you want a job, then you want me to move my event to Vermont.
That is not what I was proposing. Although, let me just put that out there. Yes, please do. Separate from that, I would imagine that, you know, you're bringing in some nice tourism dollars there to Palm Springs.
Oh, yeah, the city loves me. I have a key to the city.
You do not have a key to the city.
Yeah. I'm actually really proud of that. The city has been amazing this year, too. They are really committed to their LGBT market. And, you know, the city's, I mean, half the council's gay. Half the town is gay.
Yeah.
And so they actually partnered with me this year to do a VIP program. So everyone that comes to the diner gets a kind of like a little credit card from the city that gets some discounts all over town.
Nice.
We have a theme, you know, come early, stay late, check out Palm Springs. They paid for a familiarization trip with about 8 reporters, and they flew them in. And they took them all over Palm Springs, and then they met with me, and I talked about the diner. But it was a diner fam trip. It was pretty amazing. So it's a good city it is the only city to produce the diner in, to be perfectly honest with you, because their commitment, well, first off, the weather is unbeatable.
Right.
Just that whole aspect of it. I've tried to do the diner in Monterey, which is another really beautiful resort.
Beautiful place. I was just there last year. Beautiful.
Okay, you know, but I couldn't, you know, they want the heat.
Right.
Yeah, they want those crazy pool parties. So, you know, what's interesting about this year, too, is that I'm now all on Tockwitz Canyon, which is the main boulevard other than Palm Canyon in Palm Springs. And so all my hotels are in walking distance.
Oh, that's great.
So now it's like the diner block party.
It's very convenient. We like when things are convenient.
Yeah.
All right. Now, you are a businesswoman at heart. You know, this is part of what you do. You do promotions. You're a producer. At the end of the day, the diner's all over, and you finish out the year. What are the rubrics that you use to figure out, okay, were we successful this year?
The first thing that comes to mind is how many thank you emails we get. Because I remember 1 year, 2006, it was the first year of the split, and I just, operations was not my strong point.
Right.
And, oh, my God, it was like this operational mess. I don't think most of our customers realized it, but some of them did. And I got a lot of letters that year going, I'm not happy. And I fixed that and got a really great operations team. But I do, if you didn't do something right, you hear it.
I bet.
You don't hear it very much when you do things right. So you'd be surprised. We don't get tons of I loved it. But then you can tell by Facebook. Like, you can just tell by how people are talking about it after the event. We watch that, too.
So what you're saying is the lesbians, some of them not so shy with their opinions.
When it's negative, I definitely hear it.
Okay.
When it's positive, I hear it being talked about elsewhere, but I don't think people always remember to come back and go, oh my God, thank you.
Oh, well,
and that's fine.
That's fine.
You know, I mean, I think that's human nature. We all do that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But you see it on Facebook. I've seen it on Facebook, and I'm not even at the diner.
Yeah.
So, well, that's good. Well, it brings us to our favorite part of having you on the show. And I've gone back and listened to some of your appearances, and you have, I'm telling you right now, you have cheated on this segment, and so I'm not letting you off so easy. So this is the part of the show where you tell our listening audience what a couple of your song selections say about Mariah Hansen. Now, for people who have listened to your appearances before, and I'm one of them, you have cheated. You have said, and I'm just calling you out right now.
That's all right.
Even though I'm going to be asking for your help after the show. But you have cheated, and you have just pretty much said, yes, these are people who are going to be at the diner. So let me run ahead of you at the pass here, cut you off at the pass and say, I know they're going to be at the diner. We want to know what some of these songs say about Mariah Hansen. I'm only going to make you do two of them.
I'm not going to cheat.
Okay. No cheating. Okay. What does, and we know Carmen's going to be there, but what does...
I have been madly in love with this woman for years, and she still breaks my heart.
So you didn't even let me say that.
Carmen
was good.
For brokenhearted. Okay, who else?
That was great. That was great. I'm a little scared, but okay, I'm only going to make you do one more because it's a little fear-based right now. What does Diana King, who is going to be at the diner, her song Say a Little Prayer from My Best Friend's Wedding soundtrack, and Lord do I know that, what does Say a Little Prayer say about Mariah Hansen?
Well, listen, I am the biggest Burt Bacharach fan. You probably don't even know who he is.
Oh, come on.
Okay.
My mom told me about him once.
All right, there you go. And Dionne Warwick, so of course I love that song.
Yeah.
And that is a great movie. I wanted to be Julia Roberts' best friend too.
We all do.
I would have not dumped her.
No.
I would have honored that little pact we had.
That just took a turn there at the end, but there we go. That's true. I probably would have as well, to a point. We love that song. So for our listening audience, say a little prayer right now for the Dinah Shore weekend.
I pray that everyone who attends has the most joyous 5 days of their life.
Awesome.
And that my staff feels very well taken care of.
And we should give them a shout out, because I love you doing that as well. You love your staff.
I really do. I do. We had only 4 people not return this year out of like 45.
Well, that's a measure of success right there.
Yeah, I know. It's pretty amazing. I have a really amazing general manager, Leilani Reynolds, who she just works so hard, and she's just gotten so good at operations, but also at just management.
Yeah.
And she's very inspirational. And then I have another manager, Brianna Stockton, who used to be on, she's a little fitness guru. But she was on that Jackie Warner show. Remember that?
What is it? Working Out? Something like that.
Yeah, she was the cute
workout.
On.
Oh, look at that.
She's so great, too. She's my production manager. And they work really hard, and they take a lot of, they're working around the clock. And we try to be really inspirational for them to take every challenge as something that we like to think we're changing the world a little bit at the diner.
Yeah.
For
well, you are.
Staff and for our customers.
Well, I mean, and I know your staff sounds great, but how about that guy checking the wristbands?
That guy Ken from Vermont. Oh my God, you know it. He brings maple syrup.
They're still talking about him years later.
Naughty.
Carmen seemed great, and yes, that pool party was fantastic. But that wristband checker, what a cutie!
Absolutely, you are hired.
I will follow you around and help. Well, look, I've said this to you before, and I will say it because I hope to have you on every single year. You are providing an experience, and it is such a transformative experience for so many folks. And I know that there are women who this is their part of the year. You know, the rest of the year is just filler, but the diner is when folks come alive and they see old friends and they find new love and they reconfirm old love and you provide that for them. And there's not a lot of folks out there who can stand up and say, I provide pure experience, and you are one of the people doing that.
Thank you.
So,
thank you. That's cool.
The 23rd diner coming up real soon. So, folks, get your tickets. I will be checking wristbands. Stroll on over to thediner.com and act fast, because you got some work to do, folks, to book your plans. Mariah Hansen, always a pleasure.
Thank you. You too, Ken.
All the best with Edina.
Thanks. This is more than a typical kind of thing. Felt the Jones in my bones and you were touching me. In the days going crazy, I can barely think. You're replaying in my brain, find it hard to sleep. Oh, oh, waiting for my phone to blow. Uh-oh, yeah, now I'm here in a sticky situation. Got a little trouble, yep, and now I'm pacing. 5 minutes, 10 minutes, now it's been an hour. Don't wanna think too hard, but I'm sour.
Alright, folks, and we are back, and we're joined by another one of our favorite guests. Sir Ari Gold is an award-winning Billboard Top 10 recording artist. Some fun recent highlights include the fact that the single, Make My Body Rock, from his fourth studio album, Between the Spirit and the Flesh, debuted at number one on Logo, making him the artist with the most number ones since the network launched in 2005. His Billboard Top 10 and number one SiriusXM radio dance hit, Where the Music Takes You, from the critically hailed Transport Systems, was voted Logo's number one video of the year and was the grand prize winner of the 12th annual USA Songwriting Competition and tons of other accolades that we'll talk about. And now he's got a new project that he wants you, our listeners, to help fund. Sir Ari Gold, welcome back to This Show Is So Gay.
Oh, thank you. And thank you for remembering my sir title.
Oh, come on. Well, let's go right into that one, because I was reading, I'm not sure if you saw this, one of the reviews on iTunes of Between the Spirit and the Flesh, someone wondered whether you were using the sir title to appeal to get the attention of leather fans.
Oh, I didn't hear that.
It's right there on iTunes.
Well, I didn't do it to get the attention of leather fans, but I have to say that I've been aware of having fans within the leather and, you know, S&M community.
Yeah.
And I've done performances for certain events that was about the leather community, and, you know, I mean, I've always celebrated all the diversity that we have, whether it's leather, whether it's drag or transgender, or, you know, you know, personally, I've got a few leather pieces in my own closet.
There you go. There you go. Well, sir, we have not talked to you in close to 3 years. How the heck are you?
I am really good. You know, 2012 was a crazy year. You know, I was sort of the victim of a civil, my civil rights were violated, I guess you could say. I don't know if you heard about that whole thing that happened on the bus.
Tell everyone, for folks that did not hear, it was quite the story.
Well, I was basically on a bus going upstate to see my family, and I was with someone who I was dating at the time, who I'm no longer dating. another reason why 2012 was kind of crazy.
Right.
And the bus driver didn't like the way we were sitting. We were just holding hands and asked us to sit in the back of the bus. Very Rosa Parks moment.
Yeah, whose birthday is today, by the way.
Oh, my God, that's so
funny. Look at that. Go ahead.
And that means she's an Aquarius like me.
There you go.
That's even crazier. Because they were saying I was like the gay Rosa Parks or something. I didn't say that, they did. But yeah, I mean, you know, and then I had to stand up and sort of hold my ground. And you know, the police were called onto the bus. And it was just a whole thing. And I was just happened to be tweeting it while it was going on.
Wow.
And Michael Musto from the Village Voice picked up the story. And so it just sort of became this big thing. And then I worked with Lambda Legal to you know, deal with the bus company and have them implement the proper awareness and training for their sensitivity training for their drivers, and you know, and also to make sure that the driver that was taking us was properly educated and I guess you could say penalized.
Yeah, there you go. We could say that.
But he wasn't fired, and that's fine. You know, I wasn't interested in like taking anyone's like entire
right.
income away. I don't know what his story is, but he definitely, I think he lost about 2 weeks of income. I mean, he treated us pretty horribly. So, you know, I think he deserved whatever he got. But
have you written a song about it?
I actually sort of toyed with some things. I've been writing, you know, I always write, and I've been writing things. I have actually written some lyrics and stuff.
All right.
But I've been primarily focused on my remix album. So, but yeah, you know, I mean, they didn't know who they were dealing with, like, I guess, when I mean,
right.
the bus driver, because, you know, I've always been extremely vocal and political when it comes to gay rights and all that stuff.
I look forward to dancing in the clubs to the remix of The Gay Rosa Parks. That's going to be awesome. Well, since you've last been on the show, Between the Spirit of the Flesh, we've never even talked about it because it happened in our interim time together. That's a pretty darn fun record there.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much. Yeah, well, you know, the remix album has some of the singles from that remix. And, yeah, it was, you know, it's. I'm very proud of it. It was a studio album and all my studio albums. You know, I like to have a concept around it and, you know, and make the song sort of fit into a concept. And I was sort of dealing with issues, darkness and light. And that's why for the videos, you know, if you look at the videos, from that album, whether it's Make My Body Rock or My Favorite Religion or Sparkle, it's like they're sort of like light and dark, and dealing with very dark things and dealing with like sort of happy or light things and all of that stuff in between. So,
well, that album brings forth many questions that we would like you to answer. Here's some questions for you. Number one, what is a New York attitude?
It don't mean you're mean or rude.
There you go. There you go, for those who don't know. Question number two, what happens, Sir Ari Gold, if you steal my boyfriend?
What happens to, well, right, he's never coming back. That's what, that's the lyric. You know, that song was sort of inspired, you know, I think that sometimes we can be very catty in the gay community. And,
Not on this show.
You know, and well, that's great. And you know, it's like there's a big difference between being sort of sassy and being catty.
Right.
You know.
Yeah, we do the sassy.
So, but you know, I just sometimes like you talk to people out in the club or whatever, and maybe you know two people are together, they're boyfriends or whatever, they're dating, and you're just talking and being friendly, and like you know someone thinks that like you're just talking to them because you're ready to steal their boyfriend, and you know, and so I just decided to entertain the thought and just take it to its fullest extent and be kind of like, you know, well, you know what, if I steal your boyfriend, he's never coming back, so don't worry, because that's all what's going on here, you know, and just to sort of act, just to take on the persona of, you know, the boyfriend stealer, and that was one of the darker, you know, themes on it, as like just to kind of put myself in the shoes of a person that really is not me, but
yeah,
but you know, just like what would it be like if it was me, and you know, if you think I'm this kind of person, what would it be like if I was, you know?
Exactly. Well, question number three, and perhaps the most important, Ari, should I or should I not play your effing record?
Well, you know the answer to that question, and that's, in fact, you so have to play my. Can I say that?
We'll bleep you.
Oh, okay. Well, I stopped myself mid-word. You so have to play my record that I have put it, you know, as the lead single of my remix album, just to hammer in the point.
You did. All right, well, we're going to get to that in 1 second. A couple other things that have happened to you. Last year, you performed at the Keshette Cabaret, which I had a ticket to, but I wasn't able to make it that night, and I feel still a little bit bad about that. Why did you sign on to perform at the Keshette Cabaret?
Oh, well, I really love that organization, and, you know, I've always been also very vocal about my Jewish identity as well as my gay identity, and not, those things are not meant to, you know, make people think that I'm different or alienating people. It's a way to talk about specific issues and themes, like the way religion plays a part in people's lives, and somehow, and in some ways, you know, sexuality often butts up against that. so to speak.
Yeah.
But, you know, some of us feel, a very strong and deep connection to that, and that's where we sometimes get our spirituality, and sometimes not, but sometimes we want to leave it and rebel, but I just think it's important to talk about those themes. You know, for me, I grew up very religious, mm-hmm. but other people may have grown up as religious Catholics or religious Muslims or whatever. So I just, that's why I wanted to support Keshet, because they're an organization that celebrates both being Jewish and being gay, and that you can be those things at the same time and be proud to be both.
And you were not the only Gold performing, our good buddy Judy Gold performing as well.
I love Judy Gold. Judy Gold, my parents actually had a conversation with Judy Gold because she knew my brother, who's also a comedian, Elon, when I was first coming out, and she sort of helped console them and deal with it and work through it.
Nice. I love that, Judy Gold.
I know, that's so crazy. And we're not related, though. That's the funny thing.
Well, we tell people that you are because you were both on the show. So that's the important thing. And then in December, just this past December, barely a month ago, well, it's a little bit more than a month ago, the LGBT Academy of Recording Arts said that, you know, you're pretty cool.
They gave me the esteemed Visionary Award, which they had given Dan and Michael, who had founded Out Music about 22 years ago, and it was a place for LGBT musicians and singers, songwriters, and to be celebrated and respected, and because the mainstream really has not given enough voice to our voices. So,
right.
It was really cool to get that award, to be the person who received it the year after the founders did.
Yeah.
Was a huge honor. When I had my first album out in 2000 and then my second album, I'd gone to the Out Music Awards and I won both those times, and it really meant so much to me. I mean, you know, for me, it's, you know, the joy comes from the work and getting that response from the community, especially, because you don't always, it just means a lot, because it's been my passion, and I've made a lot of sacrifices, and made very, you know, very particular choices to, be openly gay and
right.
to stand up for that.
I don't know. Visionary implies so many more gray hairs.
There's always dye.
Don't you feel like I'm too young to be a visionary? I mean, you're what? You're 22 at this point. Come on.
Right. I'll take it. It's like, they, if you look at the mainstream music scene, I mean, you know, a lot of fairly young artists get pretty, you know, I mean, they may have their greatest hits album by the time they're 30.
Right.
So I'll take it. I don't feel like there was a Lifetime Achievement Award given that night, not, you know, to somebody else. So I still have some ways to go for that one.
All right. Yeah, because you still have at least a year and a half left till you get that one.
I think the Visionary, yay. I know we're not catty on this show.
Sassy. It was sassy.
Right, well, that's it, and there's where we're gonna get into a whole fight, right? Yeah. I think the visionary thing was about the fact that really, when I first started, there was nobody
right.
out there in R&B and pop who was singing about love songs to men,
right.
As a man, and it's very strange if you think about it, because there was a 22-year gap between the time in which all of the mainstream artists like George Michael and Elton John and Katie Lang and Boy George, Melissa Etheridge, all those artists, you know, had this big coming out
right.
in the 80s and 90s. And then there was like a 22-year gap between the time that we had like Adam Lambert and the time that Ricky Martin came out. And you have to ask, like, well, what was going on in those 22 years? Where were all the mainstream openly gay pop stars? I mean, and the only answer I could come up with is that AIDS really did a number on, you know, the community in the world.
Right.
Not only did we actually lose people, but there was just so much fear that came about, and I think that created a very fearful environment in the industry as well. So
On the other end, any up-and-coming out artists that get you excited?
Well, I don't know how up-and-coming, but I just sang. I had the pleasure of singing with Jason Walker and Christine W. And so Jason is, you know, he's an openly gay artist that can sing his face off and sing in a female key, which is pretty
awesome.
Crazy. I've always been a fan of Adam Josephs. There's an artist named Jonathan Mendelson who's doing some amazing things in the like pretty serious dance world. He's really blowing up.
Awesome.
And then there's, you know, Mila Jam, who is a transgendered singer who I absolutely adore, and she's on my album Between the Spirit and the Flesh, as is Peppermint, who is a drag recording artist and also makes like great videos and singles and all kinds of stuff. So yeah, there's a lot of people out there that I'm a fan of.
What would Sir Ari Gold's drag name be?
Ariella Goldish.
Nice.
And I'll tell you why I was able to say that. Really,
you didn't even pause on that one.
Not even for a second.
That was like, I hope this question comes because I have an answer already. Yes, tell us why you were able to answer that so quickly.
Well, you hear it first. That's so gay, because you know you want to hear what's really gay is that in my upcoming video, which is almost finished, it's being edited as we speak, and it's in 3D, and it's for Play My F***ing Record. And the promo video on Indiegogo.com, where I'm trying to raise all the funds, has me running naked on the street.
Yes, it does.
And I, you know, ran naked in the streets of New York trying to get people to play my record. And I didn't get arrested. But one of the other things I did for this video, which you're hearing at first, is I did drag.
Wow.
So get ready, people.
We are
you of Ariella Goldish.
Do you consider yourself a glamorous drag queen? Are you street drag, or should we just find out?
You'll see.
Okay.
But I will say this: it was really the first time, because I did a bunch of characters for my one man show that were some, you know, men and old guys, young guys, and some women, and I did a whole bunch of different characters for my one man show. But this was really the first time that I really felt like, you know, I was really doing drag for real, and that's because I had the amazing Peppermint, who I just spoke about, really help me with the makeup, and Milan from RuPaul's Drag Race, and Manila Luzon from RuPaul's Drag Race.
Love.
They were all helping me, and that really kind of, I just felt like I had great pedigree there. And speaking of, you know, being 22, I really felt like I was like the freshest, youngest thing on the block. It was nice to feel new.
You are so in drag right this very second during this interview. We love that. So we've been talking all around the topic, and we got to get right to it. Folks can stroll on over, and we will certainly link right to it, to Indiegogo, because you're doing a little crowdsource funding to raise some money.
All kinds of crazy and funny opportunities. I'm really having fun with this. It's a remix album. It's about dance, and it's, you know, sometimes I get a little more serious, but I'm really just having a great time. And so there are some awards. There's even one award where you can get me to perform in your home or in your private party in my underwear.
I saw that.
And then you get to keep the underwear.
I instead got the discography, but, you know, that one was good too.
So, I mean, there's a lot of fun little things. And, you know, in this day and age, I was talking to Christine W. about this just this past weekend, because, you know, nobody really talks about the fact that, you know, as independent artists, we really do have to fund our own projects.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I really require the support from my fans and my friends, and I so appreciate it, because it allows me to continue to do my work, which I love, and I hope they love it too.
Yeah, it's been such an interesting experience to be able to feature these efforts on our show. You know, we had Eric Hyman was on the show, and he was raising money for his album, and Susan Werner was raising money for her album, and both were extraordinarily successful in completing that, and you are more than halfway there, so you're well on your way. Does it change the way that you see the project, knowing that your fans help fund it? What meaning does that all have for you?
Well, I mean, you know, sometimes, I mean, in a way, it's like I feel like I wish that I could just, you know, give my art over and, you know, not have to ask for anything. It's not an easy thing mentally to have to ask for people's help and support all
right.
the time. But
which is a relatively new thing, you know, to be doing it. Yeah,
in the music business, and so yeah, so it's a new model, and so you have to do it because, you know, the truth is that this is what I feel like I was born to do, and I just keep doing it no matter what. Like you have to kind of figure it out. You have to figure out ways to do it, and if you really feel like that's what you need to be doing, then you figure it out. And, you know, the answer, not everybody, you know, gets to be, you know, the winner of American Idol. So if you're not that, then, you know, how else are you going to figure out how to get your music out into the world?
Right. There you go. So folks need to check out the video there. I was going to ask if you got arrested, but happily you did not.
Although, yeah, I did find out that you can even be arrested for a jockstrap because you're not allowed to show any naked butt cheeks.
There you go. This is good information for me that I will never need, but thank you for telling me. Now, yeah, have to ask. Now, I know your baseline is a pretty fit guy, but was there a little extra working out knowing that you were going to be running through the streets naked?
I wish I could say there was, but I didn't know the way that this video has been so guerrilla. I didn't even know when we were shooting that, and it just happened to be like, because the winter had already begun, but it just happened to be that one sort of crazily warm day. So we so lucked out, and it was so liberating, and I had so much fun. But, you know, I mean, I'm fairly regular with my workout routine, but I almost wish I was able to prepare a little bit more and bulk up a bit. But, but you know, we're always hardest on ourselves.
I think you did okay. I think you did okay. And we'll, I'm going to leave that there. And we will link to the Indiegogo site there on our site. So this is what you have coming up, right? So we're going to all fund this. We're going to get this done. And when do you hope to wrap the project?
I'm hoping the album's released in late March.
Which nice.
Is like around the corner. And, you know, the video should be coming out very soon, as soon as I know it's finished. And the single, Play My Record, with the remixes from the single are already out on iTunes. And a portion of the sales of that is going to Hurricane Sandy relief efforts. And,
lovely.
And then I'm also working on, part of the project is about this documentary that I've really been working on for many years, and it just sort of keeps taking a new form. But I'm hoping that it's going to finally take the form of something that people can see. So, yeah.
Now, seeing as that your parents had to be consoled by Judy Gold about your brother being a comedian, did anyone have to console your parents or prepare them for your upcoming turn in drag?
I did show them the picture.
Okay. Just checking.
But actually, my mom is in the video of Play My Record.
So fun.
So they're pretty supportive and amazing. So.
And come on, we're NYU students. Our parents expect this from us.
Exactly. You know, the village. What can I say?
Oh, the amount that my parents blamed on NYU. But that's okay.
Well, that's interesting because my mom, too.
Oh, yeah.
NYU.
Yeah. It did us wonders. It did us wonders. All right. Well, we will link to that site. Ari Gold, Sir Ari Gold, what a pleasure having you back on the show. Can we not let another 2 years go by before we get more updates from you?
Definitely not. Of course, you know, all the fans can follow me on Twitter /SirArieGold or Facebook @SirArieGold or ArieGold.com, all that good stuff.
And you are turning 23, 24 next week.
I have passed the 30 mark, but thank you. I appreciate it.
Big birthday plans?
I do have a birthday plan coming up, yes, but I mean, I'm already past the point of that I was supposed to do on the invite list. I'm going to keep it smaller.
Come on, man. We graduated NYU a year apart. I can't get an invite?
You can come. Okay. I don't know if I can, you know, everybody.
Crowdsource funding there at the bar for Ari Gold's birthday party. What a pleasure having you back on the show. We certainly look forward to the email that says, hey, I funded my project, because we know that that's coming up real soon.
Well, I hope so. From your mouth to God's ears.
That's the way we do it. Sir Ari Gold, thank you so much for coming back.
Thank you.
All righty.
Bye.
All right, folks, and we are back. Well, we have a little bit of time left, not a ton of time left on this week's episode, but a little bit of time to throw out some of the big LGBT news stories of the week to spark some conversations there around the rainbow water cooler. You can't escape the Boy Scout story. Gays hoping to join the Boy Scouts will have to wait until at least May after the organization's executive board put off a vote on lifting its outright ban on openly homosexual scouts and troop leaders. They were expected to vote yesterday, Wednesday, on a proposal to let local groups set their own policies, but they said instead that they need more time to get comments on the issue from their members. This is a quote from the board. They said this in a written statement, quote, "After careful consideration and extensive dialogue within the scouting family, along with comments from those outside the organization, the volunteer officers of the Boy Scouts of America's National Executive Board concluded that due to the complexity of this issue, this organization needs time for a more deliberate review of its membership policy." End quote. I find it really interesting that the word family is in there, because you often find that when you put the word family in there, we're kind of acknowledging there are a lot of different members to our family, but not the Boy Scouts. The Boy Scouts saying that the only members of our family that we need to really talk about right now and be inclusive of are the straight members of our family. This decision, of course, disappointed critics who had hoped to see the organization end their ban. This is a quote from the Human Rights Campaign President Chad Griffin. He said, quote, "Every day that the Boy Scouts of America delay action is another day that discrimination prevails. Now is the time for action. Young Americans, gay and straight, are hurt by the inaction associated with today's news. The BSA leadership should end this awful policy once and for all and open the proud tradition of scouting to all." Others hope this delay will provide time for them to lobby the Boy Scouts to scrap the plan and, you know, just stick with the ban. This is from Utah Scout leader Eric Montague. He said, quote, "The issue is not a gay rights issue." Really? Okay. "It's a gender attraction issue, and it's also a politics issue. As a local scout leader, I don't need to worry about gay rights. That shouldn't be my role. That shouldn't be what I do. And to push that decision upon me is not the best way to go." End quote. Dude, if you don't want to worry about gay rights, the easiest way to not worry about gay rights is just to let anybody and everybody serve in the Boy Scouts. The Boy Scouts are bringing this upon themselves. They are making this an issue of gay rights by saying we are discriminating against a section of this population. So let's be clear here on who it is that is making this a politics issue, who is making this a gender attraction issue. It is not the Human Rights Campaign. It is not opponents of the ban on openly gay scouts. It is indeed the Boy Scouts of America. Just want to put that out there. Perez Hilton. So Perez Hilton, and I pause because I'm not exactly sure where to go with this. He did this interview and with The Advocate, and they asked him a lot of different questions. And the first sentence is, "The blogger Perez Hilton has increasingly tried to use his own influence to benefit good causes. He sits on the National Advisory Council for the Center for Excellence in School Counseling and Leadership," for example. By the way, what qualified him to that? And maybe I should ask that sincerely. What qualified him to that? Does he have some sort of degree that qualifies him for that? I'm not exactly sure on that one. So they asked him, The Advocate, "What inspired you to join the National Advisory Council of the Center for Excellence in School Counseling and Leadership and to get involved in the Supporting Students Saving Lives Conference?" Perez Hilton answers, "I've been involved with several organizations that help young people in the world of education, specifically devoting a lot of my time to supporting GLSEN and VH1 Save the Music Foundation." Those are two very different organizations. "When I was informed of this conference, I instantly saw the need for it and instantly wanted to help in any way that I can." They go on to ask him, "Did you encounter harassment in school as a young person?" He says, this is where I'm going to struggle with this. So he answers, "Yes, I was bullied in school, but thankfully not to the point where I ever felt like taking my own life." They asked him, "Can you recount one of those experiences when you were bullied as a student?" He answers, "I remember vividly instances where other classmates would pinch the fat on my back. Thankfully, I was able to find a supportive group." They ask him, "What would a national educator conference focused on LGBT youth issues have meant for you as a young person?" He answers, "It would have meant hopefully more openness and discussion in my very religious all-boys school." So here's the deal. I'm being hesitant about Perez Hilton because, and I'm really focused, laser focused this week on the idea of apologies and what makes for an effective apology. And you can go over to the This Show Is So Gay Facebook page and you can see, you can link right to a piece that I wrote for the Huffington Post last week about some really inadequate apologies that have come up lately from celebrities who have said some anti-gay things. And I don't know. I don't know if you guys agree with me, and please let me know if you do or don't at ken@thisshowisogay.com. Just drop me an email. I'm not there yet with Perez Hilton where I'm accepting that he is this anti-bullying champion. And he is qualified to sit on nonprofit boards and be this anti-bullying rallying point. This is a guy who is famous and has clout because he had a website on which he bullied other people. So I'm just not there yet with Perez Hilton. I don't know, you know, he did apologize and he went on Ellen, and I remember that little clip where he went on Ellen and he said, I'm so sorry for what I've done. I'm gonna use my powers for good. And great, I support him using his powers for good, but I'm not at the point yet where I'm accepting that this is a guy around whom I will rally for anti-bullying efforts. I think that he's got more work to do than that. And I'm kind of, obviously I enjoy The Advocate immensely, but a little bit annoyed in this short interview with The Advocate that it doesn't recognize. I think we're still at the point where we need to do a shout out every time we interview him. Hey, that's right. You just bullied people recently, right? Because it still was pretty recently. Just putting that out there. Over in England, just a quick hop across the pond and then we got to get out of here. The United Kingdom, if you have not heard, moved a step closer to marriage equality with the House of Commons voting 400 to 175 for a bill extending marriage rights to same-sex couples. That's obviously very exciting. Marriage equality has the backing of Prime Minister David Cameron, who said before yesterday's House of Commons debate, quote, I am a strong believer in marriage. It helps people commit to each other, and I think it is right that gay people should be able to get married too. This is, yes, about equality, but it is also about making our society stronger. Thank you, Prime Minister David Cameron. Much to learn from that example. And that about wraps things up for this week's episode. Of course, our huge thanks to Mariah Hansen. Go get your tickets to the Dyna. I don't know. I kind of want to go. And to Ari Gold, and we're linking right to him there on our page. So if you are in a position where you can help him out with his crowdsource funding, that would, of course, be amazing. And, of course, thanks to all of you. We didn't stop with episode 200. We went right on to episode 201, and we have more planned for you in upcoming weeks. We're going to just keep on chugging along. So drop us an email. Send us your guest ideas, whatever you want to send us, ken@thisshowisogay.com. Stroll on over to thisshowisogay.com. Learn everything about what we're doing here. And, of course, go to the Facebook and like us there. Join the thousands of folks that celebrate, you know, what we're trying to do here, which is to get voices on the table. Get out there, folks. Go do whatever it is that you do to use your voice to create a better place for all of our LGBT brothers and sisters. And, of course, while you're doing it, remember, why be gay when you can be so gay?
You know that's my boyfriend.
No, he was talking to me.
Why is he talking to you?
That's the question you should be asking yourself.
Whatever.
Pain, shame, and everything. Gonna make you do some shady things. Pain, game, too many things. Feeling like a little summer thing. Bring it to the floor and make it sing. You never know when things about to change, yeah. Cause if I steal your boyfriend,
he's never coming back.
If I steal your boyfriend,
he was never there.
It's just a babe in toyland. Cause if I steal your boyfriend, then he was not your boyfriend.
I'm not trying to be rude or anything, but you need to back up.
I'm sorry, but no.
Back up.
Sorry, but no.
Up.
No.
Cruise, use, you want to abuse. Looking for the next victim to choose. Look rude with some excuse. Any second now you'll blow a fuse. And you wonder why you're so confused.